from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Final hour of the program here. Chris Thomas taking you up until 6 o'clock. Garrett Chapman, G-Chap ATL, in the building. He'll be taking over for yours truly at 6 o'clock. Jam-packed final hour to come. How about a little Atlanta United talk? Been a minute since I had our buddy Jason Longshore on. They won a critical game versus Charlotte recently, so I just want to pick his brain about what's coming up for the rest of the regular season and potentially the playoffs, because as of right now, they're hanging on. Hanging on for dear life, but they are hanging on nonetheless. They are in a wild card spot, I guess if you want to call it that. The 8 and 9 teams on the table will face off to get that final playoff berth. So we'll talk to our buddy Jason Longshore in about 15 minutes from now. But right now, I am excited to bring back this segment. Haven't done it in a while. Usually do it around the start of a given season to check in about where teams are, which teams are on the rise, and which teams are on the fall. And that leads us to Stock Up, Stock Down.
It's time for Stock Up, Stock Down on the other side of the glass.
Which teams are on the rise? Which teams are falling flat?
It's just stuff that had to be said.
It needed to be said.
It needed to be said.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, E, what do we got?
All right, I'm looking forward to this too, because we used to do this together a lot. I'm not going to go through the whole dial this time. I picked 4 teams strategically out of the 32 NFL because I wanted to get your opinions on them. I do have their rosters up with their key additions and departures if you have any questions.
Okay.
We're going to do 2 that made some major changes via the draft and 2 that made some major changes via free agency. So starting number 1, stock up or stock down. Had the first pick in the NFL draft, picked Caleb Williams. A lot of key additions. If you need any names, let me know. The Chicago Bears.
Well, you got Keenan Allen. You got DeAndre Swift. You have...
Look at you, yeah.
Yeah.
You 2-2 on that one.
You have, of course, they got Montez Sweat last year, who's a great addition. They drafted Roma Dunze. Yeah, they're loaded for bear, man. No pun intended. Well, I guess pun intended there. It's all going to rest on the shoulders of Caleb Williams.
Yep.
How good is he going to be as a rookie? Because we know he's starting. We know he's going to be their franchise.
Because they lost Justin Fields. Let me give you a couple guys they lost. They lost some big guys. Yep. They lost Darnell Mooney to us, wide receiver. They lost Equanimee St. Brown, Amron's little brother, who was another one of their top receivers. They lost 2 of their best offensive linemen, and Cody Whitehair and Dan Feeney. And they also lost a couple of big names on defense. But you hit all their major additions, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think by default, you got to go stock up, right? So that's what I'm going to do in this one. I'm going to go stock up for the Chicago Bears. I really like their offense. Not sure how good their defense is going to be as a whole. But I think Caleb Williams is legit. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I'm not sure he's going to be, you know, Mahomes by this time next year, but I certainly think he has the potential to be a very good quarterback, and he should be, with all those weapons, you would think fine his rookie year. And don't forget, they have DJ Moore, who torched the Falcons for 195 yards last time they saw him. So their offense is loaded, man. It's just, again, it's just how fast can he pick up the NFL game compared to college? And from all accounts, he's looked pretty good in the preseason, so... You know, I know there are some expectations for teams that are a little unfair. I've seen some talk about maybe playoffs for the Bears. I don't know if I'm buying that necessarily, but could they be in the mix? Sure. So overall, for the Chicago Bears, I'm going to give a big, fat thumbs up.
I would absolutely have to agree with you on that. They are in a tough division. NFC North is going to be tough. Green Bay, Minnesota trying to bounce back.
Well, how much do you buy Green Bay? Because Green Bay is a – like, I think people are just anointing Green Bay after the way they finished the season last year. I don't know. Like, 8 games from Jordan Love is enough to tell you that they're a top contender in the NFC? I don't know.
The 8 games gave him $250 million. So.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they did not. It's crazy. All right, another team. Here on Stock Up, Stock Down, this edition here, that bringing in a rookie QB, major departure at QB, got some new offensive weapons, couple guys lost. I think I want to hear your real thoughts on this. So stock up or stock down, the Denver Broncos.
Ooh, that's got to be a hard stock down, right? Bo Nix at quarterback, again, is a giant question mark, way more so than Caleb Williams is going to be, you would think.
Yeah, but a lot of people saying that if any coach can get Bo Nix to become the player that he's supposed to be, it's the coach they brought in from New Orleans.
But in year one, right away?
He named him the starting QB.
Who'd they lose? They lost
– of course, they lost Russ.
They lost Russ.
They lost Judy, their receiver.
And Tim Patrick, right?
Yep. And, trying to see what they've
– They got Javonte Williams out of the backfield. He's always hurt, right? I mean, is Cortland
Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, and
Samaje Perine they just signed,
yeah,
and then who's the other guy they got? What is it?
Jaleel McLaughlin is the third down back.
Is Cortland Sutton still there?
Cortland Sutton is gone.
Okay,
but he's getting older. Marvin Sims Jr. is there. Big receiver now.
KJ Hamler, is he still floating around?
KJ Hamler has been released. He was a second round bust for him.
Yeah, I mean that's what do they have, right? Who did they add on offense? You got the list, right?
Yeah, the Broncos, of course, underwent a major change, new league. They traded Judy to the Browns for draft picks. They signed Marvin Mims Jr. March. That's all they really did in their wide receiver core, tight end. They retained Trotman, and they brought in Lucas Kroll, who had a great good year for whatever team played for last year. And then offensive line, they upgraded their offensive line.
So a whole lot of nothing.
Okay.
Sounds like they're going to be awful.
Yeah. Sound like going to be awful?
Yeah.
And Bo Nix is not going to be a great, great player. Sean Payton's going to need a while to get Bo Nix going.
They're
going to
tank for.
No, they ain't tanking for Beck. No, no way. Bo Nix is. I mean, how can they do that? 12th pick overall. Okay, so we got one stock up with the rookie quarterback, one stock down. Okay, now let's go to two teams who have established veteran QBs, but definitely made a lot of roster changes because. The window's either slammed shut or they're trying to extend it for as long as they can. Starting up in the western New York area of your state, the Buffalo Bills, stock up or stock down?
Ooh, got to be stock down, right? Because let's go over who they lost, right? Micah Hyde, right?
Yes, Micah Hyde.
Jordan Poyer.
Yes.
Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
They also lost their running back, right? Singletary, he's gone.
Singletary went to the Jets or he went to the Bears or somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's gone.
Also lost Tre'Davious White, which I did not know.
Yeah.
Because he's all pro corner, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure was.
They lost a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you who they brought
they
in.
They added Mac Collins.
Ex-Falcon.
Yeah, our good buddy.
Yeah. Keon Coleman at the draft.
Keon Coleman in the draft.
Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
He came from... Maybe the Panthers or somebody.
I think he came from Washington.
Okay. Running back Ray Davis out of the draft. Georgia offensive lineman Cedric Van Pran Granger out of the draft.
That's a good addition.
Safety Mike Edwards.
Definitely
bigger names leaving than coming in.
I mean, are they definitively now the third team in the AFC East? Are the Jets
Miami and
in
New York?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, man, this is your segment, sir.
I'm just
stock up, stock down. Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, well, it's got to be stock down.
Has that window slammed shut?
No, slam shut might be a little tough, but is it closing? I think definitely, because they already paid Allen, so they're cash strapped, much like the Falcons were a couple of years ago. We know what that's like, so... Yeah, I'm going to say it's a tough sledding for the Bills up there in snowy Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that window has slammed shut. I think it's done. They overpaid Josh Allen, in my opinion. He's never won MVP. He's never won watching the playoffs. He hasn't brought him Super Bowl And like I said, losing Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poirier, that's two of the best defensive backs in all of NFL.
And Micah Hyde as well.
And Micah Hyde. That's insane that they lost all that. And then Stephon Diggs, my Maryland guy. I can't believe they, you know. Yeah, wow. Good luck, Buffalo Bills. You'll see what happens. All right, one more to go. Stock up, stock down on this NFL first-time edition. The Los Angeles Rams. Of course, they lose the perennial defensive player of the year candidate in the middle, Aaron Donald.
Yep.
Quarterback is back, but they've lost a couple of offensive players, and I'll go through the list here in a second. But tell me what you think.
So they have, right now, their offense is Stafford at quarterback. They got Nacua and Cooper Kupp at wide receiver.
Coming back off injury.
Yep. They got Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, who they drafted in the backfield. And is Tyler Higbee still their primary tight end?
He is.
Okay. That's not bad at all.
No.
I think health is your biggest question mark there, right?
Yep. Is Matthew Stafford still an elite quarterback?
What is he, 37?
36.
Yeah. He could be if he's protected. We all know he ain't running anywhere, so if they can keep him upright. And then what about on defense? Who'd they bring in?
Three offseason additions. Cornerback Darius Williams, who was a Pro Bowler in 2022. Williams had stints with Ravens and Jaguars. They also signed Parkinson, former of the Saints, to a 3-year deal. And that's it on the defense side of the ball.
Yeah, that's going to be obviously the question mark there. But can they win games against Seattle and maybe steal one against San Fran and, you know, find themselves right in the mix of that division? Is there like a stock neutral option? Like, I kind of feel like
hold this stock, don't sell it, don't buy it.
Exactly. Just save it till about week 8, and let's check in with the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, I didn't see this one. Oh, so that's where Tre'Davious White ended up.
Oh, okay.
From Buffalo.
Well, you know what? That's a big ad.
It is.
So maybe we do go a little stock up. Because I feel like they won the Super Bowl, and then they kind of just were in, like, the ether for a little bit there.
They had to get rid of salary. That's why they shipped off Jalen Ramsey. Aaron Donald retires.
Von Miller's gone. Yeah, you know, if I had to pick, I'll say stock up. I think they're going to be a competitive team this year. I do.
Carson Wentz even is there as a backup.
No, he's with the Chiefs. He's in Kansas City.
He's in the Chiefs. Okay,
yeah, because they made a big deal about that. I remember that. All right, good job on stock up, stock down. When we get back, let's talk a little Atlanta United. Vamos, vamos. ACL, a big win against Charlotte. We'll see what they can do in their next match coming up. And what's the rest of the season looking like? I'll let you hear from our buddy Jason Longshore, the analyst for Atlanta United. He joins me next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Johnny Silva, here's shot. A good turn around. Bronico sending it down the middle of the Fortune, dribbling out of center circle, straight down the middle. Fortune bumped, shoots, score! From 20 yards out, after being bumped by Brad Bronico, Jay Fortune has scored his first ever Atlanta United goal.
And that was all that was needed to get the 1-0 victory over Charlotte. And now Atlanta United finds itself in the thick of a playoff. Chase, been a while since we checked in with our buddy Jason Longshore, so I figured after a big win, a much-needed victory, and the schedule's been kind of wonky, so I wanted Jason to get us all caught up to date on Atlanta United. Of course, you hear him with Mike Conte on the calls. Jason, appreciate the time. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm good.
Yeah, of course. First of all, how big was this victory to get 3 out of this one? And then where does Atlanta United find itself right now as the playoff chase begins?
This playoff race is going to go down to the wire because everybody is still in it in the Eastern Conference. And it's going to go up and down and all over the place just because it's the most competitive I've seen, really, where last place is just a couple of points out of a playoff spot. I mean, you're gonna see a lot of movement in the table down the stretch. So every point's critical, and especially 3 points on the road, which is, you know, unexpected in this league. This is a league where it's very home advantage based, and when you can get 3 points on the road, and maybe a little more so in terms of 3 points against the team that you don't really like because they're a local rival. That adds a little bit of extra momentum to the push. And when you get it the way that you did, I think it's twofold. One, it's a homegrown in Jay Fortune getting that goal, his first as a professional in Major League Soccer, and you could see what it meant to him, what it meant to his teammates, and also what Rob Valentino said. You know, this is the kind of grittiness that he wants to see out of this group, because they're going to have to fight for it right now. Every game's going to be so close, and the later you get in the season, they feel like playoff games even before you get to the playoffs. It's just games are lower scoring, more defensive, teams are more cautious, just because every point matters. So you got to learn how to win these. And winning that one in Charlotte on Saturday night, I think it can give this team momentum. You got to deal with the break now, and you got to keep that momentum going. But you get a couple of home games in a row before you go to Red Bull, and you need to stack up some points.
What do we see from the new guy, Alexi Marinchuk?
One, we saw 90 minutes from him, which I did not expect. Nobody really did. We talked to Rob Valentino, Mike Conti, and I on Friday, and, you know, hopeful for 60, and that was kind of the upper end of it. You know, I talked about it at halftime, where I think the plan was to assess how much he ran in the first half, see how he was feeling, and decide from there if you were going to continue with him or not. The first half was a little slower paced. That probably helped him a little bit. Now, it sped up as the night went on, and full credit to him for being able to grind it out. You know, he was more limited as the night went on, no question about it. This is a guy who did not have a preseason in Europe, maybe a week or two, did training on his own, you know, staying in shape, but staying in shape and being ready to play 90 minutes at a high level are two very different things. The way that he was able to contribute and grind that out it says a lot about his character. I thought we saw his quality, and we saw the team starting to adapt to him. He's a very different kind of player than the previous number 10. If we're going to talk positional and replacement, yeah, he's the new Thiago Almada, but he's so different than Almada. Thiago liked to dribble and would unbalance defenses on the dribble. Alexi likes to unbalance defenses with quick passes. He's a 1-2 touch kind of player. So that means teammates have to be locked in quicker to look for combinations, to look for 1-2s, to make those movements off the ball. You give Alexi the ball, and then you pop into an open spot, because his natural inclination is to find you as opposed to dribbling to carry the team forward. It's not a right or a wrong thing. It's just a different player. So the players around him have to adapt. And I thought we saw some really nice glimpses of that as the night went on in Charlotte.
Was there a chance, as we're talking with our buddy Jason Longshore here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, for the team to even add more potentially, and they chose not to pursue it this time?
Say that again?
Was there a chance for the team in the latest window to even add more talent alongside Alexi Marinchuk, but they chose not to do so at this time?
No, I don't think they chose not to pursue it. And, you know, Garth Lagerwey's talked to us a lot during this past month, Leagues Cup and through the window and after the window. And if you haven't had the chance to check it out, I sat down with him and Demetrios, who is the executive vice president or senior vice president of strategy, for a podcast that you can listen to on Off the Woodwork. It's 45 minutes, and we went super deep into MLS roster rules and mechanisms and salary caps and all of it. What both of them said in the conversation, and they both said this in other formats as well, they got close on a couple of additions. And what Demetrio said in the podcast was that they agreed to terms with the players that they were chasing, and not all at the same time. You know, you try to get one. If it doesn't happen, you might look to another player. I don't know the order and exactly how it went and what it was player by player. But they agreed in general with players. It was trying to find that transfer cost with the club to bring that player in. And there's always a line, and there's always a bar that you're spending too much. Even if you'd like to get that player right now, you can't overdo it. And that's a challenge. This window worldwide was really interesting. And, you know, Demetrios talked about it in the podcast about how in England, and this was a couple days before the European window closed, which was 2 weeks after the Major League Soccer window closed. That created complications because some European clubs were willing to wait two more weeks to see if they could get a better offer from a club in Europe as opposed to the offer that was on the table from Atlanta, and other MLS clubs fell into this too. But also the valuations have been out of whack. And I think when you look at the grand scheme of this transfer market worldwide, you have some new rules in place in Europe that are curbing spending. And you have some clubs that are adapting to that. So spending in general was down. And you had some clubs that were maybe overvaluing players to sell. They'd rather hold on to players at the moment. So they were asking prices that were just too high. Now, when you go into January, and this club will be able to add two designated players in January, it's a different kind of market. It's a different kind of opportunity for Atlanta United. And it's going to, I think, be a different situation because you're going to have some clubs that are very willing to sell, and you're going to have some clubs that are not going to be in as willing of a position to sell. But MLS, their window will close later. So you'll be able to take advantage of situations, for example, where a player is at a club and unhappy and wants to leave, and there's no European suitors available because their windows have closed, and MLS can come in with a good offer and a club will take it. So the paradigm flips a little bit in January, but long answer to your question, they did try. They didn't come up with the right fits for the right amount of money and the right deals, and they didn't want to make a deal just to make a deal. They wanted to make the right deals, and now they're going to have to do that in the January window.
Yeah, and, you know, being conservative for the sake of being conservative doesn't sound like that was the case either. So, as you said, the club tried. It just didn't find an offer that
made
sense.
Yeah, I did. That's a really good point because I really did not get the sense that they were purely being conservative. I think they were looking at some pretty interesting targets. I mean, when you look at the names out there, and the club will never confirm this, and you know, you know how a Falcons/Atlanta United club is going to handle these sorts of conversations. They're never going to talk about rumors. But there were lots of rumors, and these were pretty big name rumors at big clubs. So they were, it sounds like, swinging pretty big, and they just didn't get the right deal at the right price for the right player. And now they're going to have to do that going into the next season.
All right, so it looks like as we're wrapping up here with our buddy Jason Longshore, make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Longshoe and listen to all the Atlanta coverage. As you mentioned, that podcast, find it on the Odyssey app. From the 14th after the break through October 2nd, you got five matches in a 2.5 week span. How does Rob Valentino manage that?
Oh, you're going to have to use a little bit of smoke and mirrors. You're going to have to do your best to keep guys healthy. The good thing is, you know, when he took over this team, you had to deal with worse stretches than that. So it's not going to be easy, but it's not going to be as daunting as the stretch that he had to deal with in July, for example, with all of the travel added into it as well. So you've got some things I think you've learned from that will help you here. You've got to get, you know, somebody like Tristan Mwemba back because you're going to have to rotate your midfielders. You know, when you add a Moranchuk into that group as a 10, you're going to have to rotate between Moranchuk, between Fortune, between Sleash, between McCarty, between Mwemba. That's a lot of players for a couple of positions. That's a good thing. You're going to have to rotate your wingers. You're going to have to try to keep guys fresh alongside the fact that you're going to have to pick up as many points as you can. So it is a tough balance at times to make decisions in game of there's a chance here for me to get three. I need to go all in, push my chips into the middle of the table. Or, you know what? We have a point. This game doesn't feel like one where we can turn it the other way. We need to hold on to what we have. Let's use that side of the bench and defend what we have as opposed to being overly aggressive and going for it. That's a tough balance to strike. And I think, you know, Valentino's going to have to lean on his coaching staff. And you have somebody like Carl Robinson who has been through that in his coaching career. And I think he's going to be a big asset in these kind of moments, along with the veterans in this team, to handle the workload and those moments of is three possible, or is one the best outcome for the day? Is that win possible, or is it going to be that draw? And deciding when to go for what game to game, and honestly, half to half.
All right, Jason, appreciate the time. As always, full steam ahead towards a playoff push, and we will be rooting vamos, vamos, Jason.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is our buddy Jason Longshore there. Big win for United over Charlotte. All right, when we get back, we're going to wrap this puppy up. I'm going to let you hear something. This is an interesting thing that gets brought up in sports from time to time. And I even on a holiday like today, there was just too much going on for me to get to this any earlier than I did because we just got too much football to talk about, frankly. But Stephen A., speaking of quite frankly, he brought up a debate, a tale as old as time. I'll let you hear what he had to say as we wrap this show up, and let me know what you think, if you agree with Stephen A. or not. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas taking you home. 6 o'clock, Garrett Chapman comes your way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, it's funny. There are all these sports cliche arguments that, you know, in the middle of summer that you can bring up if you're doing a show or you want to even have at the bar with your friends. Who's on the Mount Rushmore of NBA players? Or, you know, is Barry Bonds or Hank Aaron really the greatest home run hitter of all time? You know all the ones I'm talking about. Well, another one that gets discussed often is, could the modern NBA player make it in today's game or yesteryear's game because of the hand checking and the physicality and all the things that used to go on back in my day that they don't allow anymore, so that Steph Curry could just hit wide open jump shots and LeBron could just throw elbows at everybody and it's all good? Well, Stephen A. Smith decided to, on his show, once and for all, give his take on, can the modern NBA athlete hold their own if they were playing in the glory days?
It would have been significantly tougher for you to be as great as you are now, back in the day, playing with the rules and level of physicality that they allowed. Perfect example would be Steph Curry. Steph Curry came into the league with soft ankles. You might not have survived. They would have sat up there, they'd have untied your shoelaces, they'd have stepped on your foot, they'd have twisted your damn ankle, they'd have messed with you all day, every day. That's what they're talking about. But because I believe he's the best shooter that God ever created, I think he would have adjusted. You can't tell me that a LeBron at 6'9", 260, couldn't deal with the physicality of the old days, because he would have been hurting people. because that's how powerful and that's how strong he is. You can't tell me Kobe couldn't have done with that. Russell Westbrook would have been off the chain. James Harden would have danced on people. Kevin Durant, any era, he's 6'11 with a handle and a J. If Bill Laimbeer could have been in the NBA, Jokic could have been in the NBA.
Okay. I mean, E, didn't it sound like he was kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth there a little bit? He starts off the clip on Curry going, well, maybe they would have broke his ankles and he never would have been able to make it.
But he's the best shooter ever.
But he's the best shooter ever, so he would have been able to make it. I mean, come on, Stephen A. I get the argument because it's one that we all have all the time. But if you're going to make the comparison that Steph was too fragile and then in the next sentence say it doesn't matter because he's the greatest shooter of all time, well, hey, Stephen A., which one is it, bruh? That's my question.
Steph is a bad example for what he's trying to prove there because he would have sat outside and shot. And the difference is this is in the 80s and 90s, he would have had guys that would have protected him. Soon as you come over, and, oh, you're going to give a hard foul on Steph? Well, watch this. Your guy's going into the second row of the bleachers.
Well, he has one now in Draymond Green.
Right, but could you imagine Draymond Green playing in the 80s style of basketball? The technical fouls that he would rack up. I mean, he would send people to the hospital on a nightly basis.
He would have had people waiting outside a locker room.
Absolutely, yeah.
After
yeah.
games. That's how it was back then. I don't buy it, man, because you know what the thing is? Great athletes are great athletes. Like, yes, you look at Larry Bird in his prime, and then look at LeBron. Physically, they look like they're from two different planets. I understand that. But at the same time, like, pure God-given, as Stephen A. was quoting in that soundbite, God-given athleticism, you can't – that's not teachable. You can't put that, you know, in an hour-long workout in a gym somewhere and expect to produce those type of results. Steph Curry is a once-in-a-lifetime player. LeBron is a once-in-a-lifetime player. So was Magic. So was Larry Bird. But I don't think that you can sit here and say that just because a player plays today or just because a player played 30 years ago that they wouldn't have been able to make it in either time slot or vice versa. I just don't think you can say that. I mean, football players, are you telling me that, you know, Travis Kelce wouldn't have been a good tight end 30 years ago? No, I mean, he probably would have had to block a little bit more, but, you know, these guys that are just the best of the best at what they do, you can't.
I think that the two most accurate statements that you can make comparing the game from today to the game today is, bottom line, yes, Michael Jordan would have averaged 40 to 50 points a game playing in today's NBA. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I mean, how much work? By what metric?
Metric that going to the hole, he wouldn't have to worry about being knocked into the second row like he did against Detroit and other teams back in the day. When they breathed on him, he would have got a foul every time. Everybody in the NBA would foul out with Michael Jordan being able to penetrate and get to the basket the way he did in the 80s.
Okay, so let me ask you this then as we're breaking this down. Chris Thomas wrapping up with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, reacting to the comments of Stephen A. Smith talking about eras in the NBA and who could play with who. How much flop treatment in LeBron's career do you feel like he's received?
Quite a bit. He's the star of the league. You get too close to him, he's going to get a whistle. That's what stars get. Stars
and
get star treatment.
And you're telling me Michael didn't receive that?
Not that he didn't. He still got beat up. He still got beat up. You could hand check him coming down the court. You can set hard screens on him way out in front of the basket. You can't do that anymore. You cannot do that anymore. And when you got inside, the hard fouls now would be flagrant twos, and those guys would be out of the game. The flagrant two that you get called for a really hard foul didn't happen in the 80s. So when guys come into the lane right now and you see them and you just want to take them out, you hesitate because you know, oh, I'm getting a flagrant two and I'm out of here.
Didn't Isn't the then. Reverse argument, especially for like a LeBron, that he's just strong enough that wouldn't have mattered?
Well, LeBron, yes. I didn't worry about LeBron. LeBron could have penetrated, and if Oakley was waiting for him, he'd have went straight into Oakley's chest. And he'd have stood over Oakley and be like, yeah, do something about that.
Well, let's talk about the other players that he mentioned in that clip. James Harden.
James Harden's crossover and speed would have been fine, but James Harden would have, you know, got into the hole and got clobbered. But James Harden has the size to take hits.
And Russell Westbrook was the other one. He's a little slider.
He's a little slider.
Faster.
I think he's talking about the athleticism and the fact that when Wes was at his game, Wes crossed you over, went into the hole, and dunked. Harden is a layup guy, okay? Harden could barely dunk now, could barely dunk 5 years ago. Westbrook came to the hole and stuffed it in your face. So two different games, different speed, both had the crazy handles and crossovers. Would have been just
so
two
could
different
Russell
ways.
Russell Wilson could Russell Westbrook have dunked on a Laimbeer?
Absolutely.
So then you know what I mean, like.
Well, that's why he said Westbrook would have been, you know, any era Westbrook could have been a great player.
Well, who's the guy? So who's Luka? Could Luka have survived 20, 30 years ago?
No, because 20, 30 years ago, big men didn't shoot threes. When Luka went out from beyond the arc, his coach would be like, what are you doing? Get your butt down on the block and bang against Shaq. Get your butt down on the block and bang against Hakeem. Get your
butt down. But that's not his game.
It's right. It's not. Luka wouldn't be in the NBA 30 years ago. Joker. He wouldn't be in the NBA 30 years ago. Probably wouldn't. We'll see.
Well, we won't, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Well, if we could play like 2K in like old timers mode, and I guess we could see. But yeah, the modern, like, well, here's what I think the crux of the thing is that we're talking about. Like, I think this more applies to your like Chet Holmgrens of the world, like guys with that type of build and that type of posture in the NBA, where they're essentially, you know, walking stick figures, you know. Wembanyama, even though he could shoot over anybody, would he get bullied a little bit? I don't, you know what I mean? Like, he's 7'4", but he's a string bean, and if you're talking about giving him a little gut punch or a little elbow when he's trying to take it down, I mean, maybe not.
Yeah,
I don't.
And Wemby too. Wemby would get broken half. Going to
right,
the hole
that's
versus
what I'm saying.
Bill
Chet Holmgren, Wemby. He mentioned Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant's another freak because he can shoot over anybody.
Right.
He's got that touch where he can, you know, flip the leg back a little and, you know, just
and
get
I say,
the floater.
With Kevin Durant would have had the turnaround game that anybody could, you know, couldn't stop. His, you know, he'd back him in, 7 foot, turnaround jumper, I'm done. You come out on me, I'm gonna go past you. So
but how did guys like Allen Iverson, Muggsy Bogues, like those guys thrived in the league and they made it work, right?
Yeah, but think about it. Muggsy Bogues never really penetrated. He was a penetrating kick guy. Muggsy Bogues wasn't a scorer, okay? Iverson, by the time Iverson came to the league in the late 90s, things had started to change a little bit. And then remember, Iverson was the most injured guy in basketball. Why? Because he took to the hole and he took the beating. It started to change through his career, but his first couple of years, remember that commercial he had? Yep, I've had a broken arm, dislocated finger, head injury, knee injury, back injury. He stayed beat up all the time. Why? Because of the way he played. Put Iverson in today's game.
What about Zeke? He was only 6'1", right?
Isaiah Thomas, yeah. Oh, Google. He took a lot of punishment.
Yeah.
A lot of punishment. You know, the craziest thing about the difference, and this I'll tell you. So Steph Curry's single season NBA 3-point, he hit like 370 in one single season, okay? Zeke, Isaiah Thomas, hit like 370 his whole career.
Yeah.
Okay? They're making more threes in one season than these guys made in their whole career. That's how the game has changed.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I still think ultimately what Stephen A. said at the end of the day, I mean, he kind of, again, spoke out of both sides of his mouth, so I don't know if anything he said, did he take a side in that argument? But I kind of feel like at the end of the day, again, as E and I were breaking it down, talent wins out at the end of the day, man. Like, you're not going to put yourself in a position if you're LeBron or Steph or Russell Westbrook. Like, those guys are, like, era-proof. Like, you could drop them in any era of basketball, and they would be able to find a way to thrive. There are some guys, like we were just talking about. I mean, again, even a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, like, he was just so big that no matter what, like, he might have not been the most physical guy in terms of, like, you know, muscle bound and all that kind of stuff, but dude was just a gigantic freak who could, you know, put up against anybody in the league. I think if you dropped him in 1983, he'd be just fine. I do. I believe that. Tim Duncan, I mean, you're telling me Tim Duncan couldn't have played in the 70s or the early 80s?
The big fundamental, yeah, he could have played any time. But if Duncan had to guard Wilt Chamberlain, or some of those big guys that, you know, did nothing but bang, bang, bang all the time, his career might not have been as long because his back would have came out on him.
Yeah. Same thing for guys like Larry Bird and all that. Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating conversation. That's why I saved it right here for the end of the show, because I knew we'd go down a rabbit hole and we'd have a lot of fun with it. But that'll do it for this edition of The Other Side of the Glass. We've got our boy G-Chap coming in. He's coming into the studio now, making his way in. He's got you for another full four, taking you up until 10 o'clock this evening. My big thanks to producer extraordinaire E., Eric Slaughter, who's usually with me on Saturdays, and my guests as well. We had Joe Patrick in studio for an hour, Jason Longshore, as well as Caleb Johnson. I'm back with you. You know what? I had so much fun. Why don't we do this thing again tomorrow night, huh? 7 to 10 with you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Looking forward to talking some Braves, some Falcons, and some Georgia as well. That'll do it for me, Chris Thomas. Give me a follow if you haven't already on social media at C Thomas Radio. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.